This is the reading for June 18th. Job chapter 19. Then Job answered, "How long will you hurt me and crush me with your words? You have insulted me 10 times now and attacked me without shame. Even if I have sinned, it is my worry alone. If you want to make yourselves look better than I, you can blame me for my suffering. Then know that God has wronged me and pulled his net around me. I shout, 'I have been wronged,' but I get no answer. I scream for help, but I get no justice. God has blocked my way so I cannot pass. He has covered my paths with darkness. He has taken away my honor and removed the crown from my head. He beats me down on every side until I am gone. He destroys my hope like a fallen tree. His anger burns against me, and he treats me like an enemy. His armies gather. They prepare to attack me. They camp around my tent. God has made my brothers my enemies, and my friends have become strangers. My relatives have gone away, and my friends have forgotten me. My guests and my female servants treat me like a stranger. They look at me as if I were a foreigner. I call for my servant, but he does not answer, even when I beg him with my own mouth. My wife can't stand my breath, and my own family dislikes me. Even the little boys hate me and talk about me when I leave. All my close friends hate me. Even those I love have turned against me. I am nothing but skin and bones. I have escaped by the skin of my teeth. Pity me, my friends, pity me, because the hand of God has hit me. Why do you chase me as God does? Haven't you hurt me enough? How I wish my words were written down, written on a scroll. I wish they were carved with an iron pen into lead, or carved into stone forever. I know that my defender lives, and in the end he will stand upon the earth. Even after my skin has been destroyed, in my flesh I will see God. I will see him myself. I will see him with my very own eyes. How my heart wants that to happen. If you say, 'We will continue to trouble Job because the problem lies with him,' you should be afraid of the sword yourselves. God's anger will bring punishment by the sword. Then you will know there is judgment." 2 Kings chapter 21. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he was king 55 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hephzibah. He did what the Lord said was wrong. He did the hateful things the other nations had done, the nations that the Lord had forced out of the land ahead of the Israelites. Manasseh's father Hezekiah had destroyed the places where gods were worshipped, but Manasseh rebuilt them. He built altars for Baal, and he made an Asherah idol, as Ahab, king of Israel, had done. Manasseh also worshipped all the stars of the sky and served them. The Lord had said about the temple, "I will be worshipped in Jerusalem." But Manasseh built altars in the temple of the Lord. He built altars to worship the stars in the two courtyards of the temple of the Lord. He made his own son pass through fire. He practiced magic and told the future by explaining signs and dreams. And he got advice from mediums and fortune tellers. He did many things the Lord said were wrong, which made the Lord angry. Manasseh carved an Asherah idol and put it in the temple. The Lord had said to David and his son Solomon about the temple, "I will be worshipped forever in this temple and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen from all the tribes of Israel. I will never again make the Israelites wander out of the land I gave their ancestors. But they must obey everything I have commanded them and all the teachings my servant Moses gave them." But the people did not listen. Manasseh led them to do more evil than the nations the Lord had destroyed ahead of the Israelites. The Lord said through his servants, the prophets, "Manasseh, king of Judah, has done these hateful things. He has done more evil than the Amorites before him. He also has led Judah to sin with their idols. But this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, 'I will bring so much trouble on Jerusalem and Judah that anyone who hears about it will be shocked. I will stretch the measuring line of Samaria over Jerusalem, and the plumb line used against Ahab's family will be used on Jerusalem. I will wipe out Jerusalem as a person wipes a dish and turns it upside down. I will throw away the rest of my people who are left. I will give them to their enemies, and they will be robbed by all their enemies. Because my people did what I said was wrong, they have made me angry from the day their ancestors left Egypt until now." Manasseh also killed many innocent people, filling Jerusalem from one end to the other with their blood. This was besides the sin he led Judah to do. He led Judah to do what the Lord said was wrong. The other things Manasseh did as king, even the sin he did, are written in the book of the history of the kings of Judah. Manasseh died and was buried in the garden in his own palace, the garden of Uzzah. Then Manasseh's son Amon became king in his place. Amon was 22 years old when he became king, and he was king for 2 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Meshulameth, daughter of Haruz, who was from Jotba. Amon did what the Lord said was wrong, as his father Manasseh had done. He lived in the same way his father had lived. He worshipped the idols his father had worshipped, and he bowed down before them. Amon rejected the Lord, the God of his ancestors, and did not follow the ways of the Lord. Amon's officers made plans against him and killed him in his palace. Then the people of the land killed all those who had made plans to kill King Amon, and they made his son Josiah king in his place. Everything else Amon did is written in the book of the history of the kings of Judah. He was buried in his grave in the garden of Uzzah, and his son Josiah became king in his place. 2 Kings chapter 22. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he ruled 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidah, daughter of Adiah, who was from Bochath. Josiah did what the Lord said was right. He lived as his ancestor David had lived, and he did not stop doing what was right. In Josiah's 18th year as king, he sent Shaphan to the temple of the Lord. Shaphan, son of Azaliah, the son of Meshulam, was the royal secretary. Josiah said, "Go up to Hilkiah the high priest and have him empty out the money the gatekeepers have gathered from the people. This is the money they have brought into the temple of the Lord. Have him give the money to the supervisors of the work on the temple of the Lord. They must pay the workers who repair the temple of the Lord, the carpenters, builders, and bricklayers. Also, use the money to buy timber and cut stone to repair the temple. They do not need to report how they use the money given to them, because they are working honestly." Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the royal secretary, "I found the book of the teachings in the temple of the Lord." He gave it to Shaphan, who read it. Then Shaphan, the royal secretary, went to the king and reported to Josiah, "Your officers have paid out the money that was in the temple of the Lord. They have given it to the workers and supervisors of the temple." Then Shaphan, the royal secretary, told the king, "Hilkiah the priest has given me a book." And Shaphan read the book to the king. When the king heard the words of the book of the teachings, he tore his clothes to show how upset he was. He gave orders to Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam son of Shaphan, Akbor son of Micaiah, Shaphan the royal secretary, and Asaiah the king's servant. These were the orders: "Go and ask the Lord about the words in the book that was found. Ask for me, for all the people, and for all Judah. The Lord's anger is burning against us because our ancestors did not obey the words of this book. They did not do all the things written for us to do." So Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam, Akbor, Shaphan, and Asaiah went to talk to Huldah the prophetess. She was the wife of Shalem, son of Tikvah, the son of Harhas, who took care of the king's clothes. Huldah lived in Jerusalem, in the new area of the city. She said to them, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Tell the man who sent you to me, this is what the Lord says. I will bring trouble to this place and to the people living here, as it is written in the book which the king of Judah has read. The people of Judah have left me and have burned incense to other gods. They have made me angry by all that they have done. My anger burns against this place like a fire, and it will not be put out. Tell the king of Judah who sent you to ask the Lord, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says about the words you heard. When you heard my words against this place and its people, you became sorry for what you had done and humbled yourself before me. I said they would be cursed and would be destroyed. You tore your clothes to show how upset you were, and you cried in my presence. This is why I have heard you, says the Lord. So I will let you die, and you will be buried in peace. You won't see all the trouble I will bring to this place." So they took her message back to the king.
Chapter 4.
Some priests, the officer in charge of the temple guards, and some Sadducees approached Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. These religious authorities were greatly annoyed. Peter and John were teaching the people and spreading the message that the dead will come back to life through Jesus. So the temple guards arrested them. Since it was already evening, they put Peter and John in jail until the next day. But many of those who had heard the message became believers, so that the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. The next day, the Jewish rulers, leaders, and scribes met in Jerusalem. The chief priest Annas, Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the rest of the chief priest's family were present. They made Peter and John stand in front of them and then asked, "By what power or in whose name did you do this?" Then Peter, because he was filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and leaders of the people, today you are cross-examining us about the good we did for a crippled man. You want to know how he was made well. You and all the people of Israel must understand that this man stands in your presence with a healthy body because of the power of Jesus Christ from Nazareth. You crucified Jesus Christ, but God has brought him back to life. He is the stone that the builders rejected, the stone that has become the cornerstone. No one else can save us. Indeed, we can be saved only by the power of the one named Jesus and not by any other person." After they found out that Peter and John had no education or special training, they were surprised to see how boldly they spoke. They realized that these men had been with Jesus. When they saw the man who was healed standing with Peter and John, they couldn't say anything against the two apostles. So they ordered Peter and John to leave the council room and began to discuss the matter among themselves. They said, "What should we do to these men? Clearly they performed a miracle that everyone in Jerusalem knows about. We can't deny that. So let's threaten them. Let's tell them that they must never speak to anyone about the one named Jesus. Then the news about the miracle that they have performed will not spread any further among the people." They called Peter and John and ordered them never to teach about Jesus or even mention his name. Peter and John answered them, "Decide for yourselves whether God wants people to listen to you rather than to him. We cannot stop talking about what we've seen and heard." The authorities threatened them even more and then let them go. Since all the people were praising God for what had happened, the authorities couldn't find any way to punish Peter and John. The man who was healed by this miracle was over 40 years old. When Peter and John were released, they went to the other apostles and told them everything the chief priests and leaders had said. When the apostles heard this, they were united and loudly prayed to God, "Master, you made the sky, the land, the sea, and everything in them. You said through the Holy Spirit, who spoke through your servant David, our ancestor, 'Why do the nations act arrogantly? Why do their people devise useless plots? Kings take their stand. Rulers make plans together against the Lord and against his Messiah. In this city, Herod and Pontius Pilate made plans together with non-Jewish people and the people of Israel. They made their plans against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. Through your will and power, they did everything that you had already decided should be done. Lord, pay attention to their threats now and allow us to speak your word boldly. Show your power by healing, performing miracles, and doing amazing things through the power and the name of your holy servant Jesus." When the apostles had finished praying, their meeting place shook. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God boldly. The whole group of believers lived in harmony. No one called any of his possessions his own. Instead, they shared everything. With great power, the apostles continued to testify that the Lord Jesus had come back to life. God's abundant goodwill was with all of them. None of them needed anything. From time to time, people sold land or houses and brought the money to the apostles. Then the money was distributed to anyone who needed it. Joseph, a descendant of Levi, had been born on the island of Cyprus. The apostles called him Barnabas, which means a person who encourages. He had some land. He sold it and turned the money over to the apostles.